Hi, thank you for visiting the Remnant Church podcast. We hope that this message will be seed planted in the fertile ground of your heart, watered a seed that has already been planted, and that the Lord of the harvest will bring the increase. May it take roots downward and fruit grow upward and outward. Let us join the message already in progress.
We have been in a series all summer called the Word of God Is, and we're going to continue and pick back up in that series next Sunday. But as you know, and I talked about earlier, we had our vacation Bible school this past week, and what an incredible time that we had together in the presence of the Lord. I mentioned this, but we had the most kids we've ever had come through here, 150 kids this past week. Can somebody praise the Lord for that? We had lots of fun and games going on. I may have busted out a dance move or two, and my knees reminded me I'm not as young as I used to be. But we had some incredible food, some crafts. But most importantly, we had some phenomenal worship, some phenomenal word from Miss Julie, and some phenomenal prayer, especially that last night. Every kid, we had a prayer tunnel, and every kid came through, and we prayed for them, and we put a mantle over their shoulders, and it was just a very powerful time in the presence of God. But as we were preparing for Vacation Bible School last week, there were some of us that were here Monday night after decorations and stuff, and we just came together and we just prayed over VBS, and we were just praying over the whole thing. We were asking God to minister to each child and each parent as they walk through these doors, and that they would experience His love, His joy, His peace. But most importantly, that if they did not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, that before this VBS ended, they would get to know Him personally as their Lord and Savior. Amen. And we got to see a lot of that happen. Really, that first night, Julie brought the gospel message, and many, many kids responded to that. But as we were here Monday night and we were praying over this whole thing that was getting ready to take place, I was sitting back there in the corner, and I was looking up here at these decorations. Aren't these decorations cool? Ryan and Ashley and Ashton and several other Scooter, Michael Evans, they all worked really hard on that. But interesting fact, this is actually a prayer shawl that was given to me when I was 16 years old by my youth pastor. His mantle that he placed on my shoulders, and I still have it, and I thought it was really cool that we got to use that in our VBS this week. But I was sitting back there, and I was looking up here at the decorations, and I felt like the Lord began to speak to me, and He said, Andrew, I don't want you to just stick with the series this week. I want you to branch off that, and I want you to preach on what we're going to talk about in VBS this week, that we were made for more. We were made for more. Because there is one thing we've got to understand. Despite what people have said or may say about us, despite what the world or the culture, how they may label us, we've got to know that we have a call of God upon our lives. Every single one of us, every single person in this room, from the youngest to the oldest, you have a call of God on your life. God's given you talents, He's given you abilities, He's given you gifts and anointing that He wants you to use for Him, He wants you to use it for His glory, and He wants you to use it for the advancement of His kingdom, right? And you got to know He wants to use you. Somebody say this, say, He wants to use me. He wants to use you right now. Right where you're at, right? Wherever you're at, whether it's at school, whether it's at home, whether it's on your job, whether it's just in public, He wants to use you right where you're at, right? So you may not always get a mic or a stage to preach from, but He just wants to use you right where He's placed you. You know why? Because you were made for more. You were made for more, and He wants to see you and I walk in everything He's ordained us to walk in, okay? So our theme this year that the Lord gave Miss Julie, can we just take a moment and give Miss Julie some honor, our children's pastor? So she prays every year, and usually the Lord speaks to her while she's at the beach. She's like, guys, I got to go to the beach because I got to receive revelation. I don't know. I'm still trying to figure that one out. But no, she really is. She goes to the beach, and she comes back with a word, and she said, I got it for this year. It's made for more. And really, that story is the story. It came from Elijah and Elisha, found in our Bibles, 1 and 2 Kings, okay? And really, she was focusing on the fact that Elisha knew and he realized that he was made for more. Because when he was asked the question by Elijah, he said, "What can I do for you before I get carried off into heaven?" Right? Elisha answered and he said, "I want a double portion of everything you got," right? And what he was saying is, "I want more. I know that I was made for more." And so we're going to talk about that this morning and dig a little bit deeper into that. But you got to realize that we brought this message to the kids at VBS this week, but the message "Made for More" is just not for the kids, but it's for you too. You were made for more too. And really the first thing we have to decide in the journey of knowing and living in the more is if we are going to answer the call of God that He has placed upon our lives. I said every one of us have a call, right? And we get to choose if we are going to respond favorably to that call or not. So I got 3 points today. Here's my first point. First point is answer the call. Answer the call. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 14, Jesus makes this statement. He says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." Many are called, but few are chosen. And he actually makes this statement right after he has given a parable of a wedding feast about a king who threw a wedding feast for his son, okay? And in that story, there were those who were invited to the wedding that did not come. They didn't show up. And so the king, he gathers his messengers together. He says, "I'm going to send you out, and I want you to invite anybody and everybody, both the good and the bad, and I want you to tell them to come. I want you to go to the highways. I want you to go to the byways, and I want you just to tell all are welcome. Tell them all are welcome to come and be a part." And so the messengers go out, and they do as the king commanded, and the wedding feast was filled with those that responded to the call and the invitation to the wedding feast, but not all came. All were invited, but not all came. And then Jesus makes this statement at the end of it. He says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." What does it mean? What does it mean to be called? What does it mean to be chosen? In this case, with the story that Jesus gives, it kind of seems obvious to me that the many who are called are those that are simply invited to the wedding feast. You're invited. That's the many who are called. The few that are chosen are simply the ones who respond favorably to the call, right? They respond to it. So simply put, if you want to move from a place of being called to a place of being chosen, you simply have to respond favorably to the call of God on your life. You just need to respond. I'm a sports guy, right? I love sports. I love competition. If you ask Amanda, she'd probably tell you I probably like it too much, right? I get too emotionally involved sometimes, especially if one of my sons are on a team and competing, right? I'm all in. Or if it's Georgia Tech, I'm pulling for Georgia Tech. I'm a diehard Tech fan. I know people don't like that, but y'all just live with it, right? I've endured a lot of persecution for that, but blessed are they that are persecuted. No. Okay, so I'm one of those parents that is yelling, and there's people that know this here. They've seen me at Sonorville High School when everyone was playing, right? I'm one of those parents that's yelling from the bleachers, right? I'm all in. And Amanda's the one that is sliding down away from me on the bleachers. But at the professional level in sports, the sports teams select someone from the best college athletes to join their league, and it's called a draft, right? The NBA, the MLB, the NFL, they all have a draft. And so they'll call these players, and these players have been called to join the league, okay? And typically, they actually get a phone call. They get a phone call from a coach or a general manager, and they're telling them, "Hey, you've been selected to come and join this team." And if that athlete wants to go from being called to being chosen and part of the team, they accept that call. They join the team, they start wearing their team apparel, and they start putting in the work at practice and learning the game schemes, okay? So in God's kingdom, the many that are called are all. All are called to enter in. All are invited to the wedding feast, to be a part of His kingdom, to be the children of God. Many are invited, and many are offered the gospel, but sadly, a lot of times only few respond, so only few are chosen. Here's a hard truth. When God calls, not everyone responds. And unlike in academics or athletics, those who are called in the kingdom of God, they're not called based upon their merits or their abilities, but it is an open invitation to anyone who will respond to the call. So if you want to go from being called to being chosen, you just have to answer the call. And Jesus kind of reiterates this point in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. He says, "Enter by the narrow gate," right? "For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." So the call, or the way, it is meant, or it's paid for all who choose to take it. You can choose to take that path. The problem is, few actually choose to respond to the call or take the way that's been made for them. Why? Because it's a narrow way, which means there's only one way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through me," right? So it's a narrow way. Why would the few choose it? Because it's difficult. What's difficult about it? Giving up the things of this world, right? But if you got to let go of the things of this world to really grab a hold of the things of God. Can I get an amen? All right? Elisha is someone who did that. He answered the call of God favorably on his life. So in 1 Kings chapter 19, the prophet Elijah is told by God to go and call Elisha and to anoint him to take the place of prophet for the nation of Israel. He's going to take Elijah's place. He's going to succeed him, okay? So Elijah goes and he finds Elisha. And when he sees Elisha, Elisha's out in the field and he's plowing the fields, it says, with 12 yoke of oxen. And Elisha is just minding his own business, working hard and doing what he's supposed to be doing. And as he's doing that, the prophet Elijah, he walks by. As Elisha's hands are on the plow, and Elijah takes off his mantle, and he casts it upon Elisha, and Elijah just keeps on walking. Doesn't say a word, just throws his mantle on him and keeps walking. Now, Elisha knew exactly what that meant. It was a call for Elisha to come and follow the man of God, Elijah. So this is what it says. I'm going to speed this up because there's a lot of things I want to get to. This is what it says Elisha did. It says that he went and he kissed his mom and his daddy goodbye. Says that he took that plow that he was plowing with. He chopped up that plow and made a pile of wood. He built a fire with that wood. He killed the oxen that he was plowing with. He cooked the meat, and then he gave it to all the people around so they could eat, and he took off and he followed Elijah. Now, why would the Bible tell us he did all that? I'll tell you why. Because essentially this is what Elisha was saying when he did all that. He was saying, "I'm all in. I'm saying goodbye to this world and all that it has to offer me, and I'm giving God my yes. I'm answering the call, and I'm saying yes to everything He has to offer me." And really, that's a decision we all need to make. Can I ask you this morning, are you willing to give God your yes and answer the call and go all in for Him? To say, "Hey, this world has nothing for me, so I'm going to follow you. I'm going to answer the call of God on my life." So that's my first point, right? That you got to know that you are made for more, you must first answer the call. Here's my second. You got to keep moving forward. When you answer the call, you got to keep moving forward. So after Elisha receives an answer the call of God upon his life, we see where Elijah, in a sense, he begins to father Elisha in the role of a prophet. Now, theologically, it's believed that there was a 10-year period from the time that Elijah threw his mantle on Elisha until the day that that Elijah was carried up into heaven in a whirlwind and a chariot of fire, okay? So for 10 years, Elisha had been following He had been observing, he had been serving, and he had been learning from Elijah. For 10 years, he's just been walking with and talking with and taking in the things that Elijah was doing for God and his kingdom. And for 10 years, he was actually walking in his calling, yet at the same time, he was waiting in it too. For 10 years. But God, in those 10 years, he was preparing, he was strengthening, and he was growing Elisha under the leadership of Elijah for what he had in store for him to do. I want to tell you this morning that waiting time is not always wasted time. Sometimes that's preparation time, right? Sometimes God, he wants us to wait. Sometimes God wants us to walk out a process to help us make personal progress. And what he's doing in those waiting periods, we may not always see and understand, but I can guarantee you this, he is working and he knows what he's doing. And he's preparing you for something greater, right? Somebody say, greater things are waiting for me. Greater things are prepared for me. Got to say it if you believe it. Greater things are coming to me. All right, there's power in our words, the power of life and death. Declare it like you mean it, right? Can I tell you this morning, for you, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into your heart what God has prepared for you, because it's greater things. It's greater things. You were made for more, but sometimes we have to wait until he says, okay, now you're ready. Now you're ready. We got to let him open the door before we try to kick it down. And that's our problem a lot of times. We get ahead of the game. We got to take time to listen, to learn, to wait, to grow from men and women of God that God has placed in and over our lives. And we don't need to take that for granted, but we need to honor that and be thankful for them. Amen? Amen. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. And it came to pass when the Lord was about to take Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, do you not know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? And he said, yes, I know. Keep silent. Then Elijah said to him, Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, do you not know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? So he answered and said, yes, I know. Keep silent. So then Elijah said to him, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, he rolled it up, and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. That's incredible, right? So here we're reading that God is getting ready to take Elijah up to heaven. Yet Elijah was not going to die. Elijah is one of two men in the history of mankind that did not taste death, right? He was translated from life here on this earth directly into heaven. The other man being Enoch in the book of Genesis, right? So obviously, God had given revelation that he was going to do this for Elijah, right? That's made obvious. We can come to that conclusion from the scriptures we just read. They knew that it was going to happen. They just may not have known the exact moment that it was going to happen. It's just like we read and we know in God's word that Jesus is coming again. And he's coming back for his church. We may not know the exact day. We may not know the exact hour, the exact time. But we do know that he's coming back. Amen? And so as Elijah sees and knows that the day is approaching, God sends him to a couple different places. And I believe in those moments, God was using Elijah to prepare Elisha. And he was teaching him some things before Elijah departs. Okay? Because it says, Elisha followed Elijah through Gilgal. Gilgal in the Hebrew, it means rolling, right? Gilgal was in the hill country of Ephraim. It was full of rolling hills. And when I say hills, I'm not talking about me and you going running up a hill outside here. I'm talking about these are more like small mountains. They're large hills. It's like small mountains with large valleys in between them. So I believe that the Lord, through Elijah, he taught Elisha that there are going to be mountaintops and there are going to be valleys in the ministry, in this life. But God is God both of the mountaintop and he's God in the valley low, and he walks through all of them with us, through every mountain, through every valley. You got to keep moving forward, Elisha, and you got to know that you were made for more, right? So then Elisha followed Elijah to Bethel. Bethel means house of God. House of God. I believe that it was here that Elijah was teaching Elisha, listen, the importance of a personal, intimate relationship with God. That we have to set aside time for prayer. We have to set aside time to be in his word. We have to set aside time to be in God's house, right? The house of God in Bethel. It'll take all these sorts of things in your life for you to be able to have the strength to keep moving forward, because you were made for more, Elisha. Elisha followed Elijah to Jericho, where I believe Elijah taught him that sometimes there would be walls that stand in the way of our promise. The walls of Jericho stood in the way of the children of Israel when they crossed over the River Jordan, right? There was Jericho walls. That was the first obstacle they came to in the promised land. He's like, look, sometimes there's going to be walls that stand in the way of promises. But our praise, right? Our praise, your praise, is a weapon that can bring the Jericho walls down. So you got to praise God when the way is clear, and you got to praise God when there's a wall in the way, and you got to trust that God is going to take care of the wall. So whether the path is clear or whether there's a wall in the way, you got to keep moving forward, Elisha, because you were made for more. You were made for more. It says, then Elisha followed Elijah to the River Jordan. They came to the River Jordan. And throughout this journey, there were these others, even those within his own circle, those from the school of the prophets, it said. And they came to Elisha and they said, don't you know that at some point God's going to take Elijah from you? Why don't you just stay where you are at? Why don't you just stay where you're at? But despite the lack of encouragement from others, even those within his own following, Elisha kept moving forward. Listen, can you keep moving forward when others and people around you start to criticize and downplay you and say, oh, well, you know, I don't believe that's going to happen. Can you say, hey, keep silent. I'm praying and I'm trusting God for a breakthrough, and I'm going to keep moving forward. Though none go with me, still I will follow him. Can you keep moving forward? I'm going to keep moving forward because I was made for more. They come to the River Jordan, and I believe that Elijah taught Elisha, listen, there may be rivers, there may be oceans, there may even be floods that seem impossible to cross, but God is a God who delivers. And what seems impossible to men is still possible with God. And if he ever split a river for us to walk across, if he ever split the Red Sea for the children of Israel to walk across, if he ever raised a standard when the enemy came in like a flood for his people, then he is able to do it again, and he's able to do it for you. He is a God that changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you keep him first, if you keep his presence first, I believe that he'll split the waters for you. And I believe that Elijah took his mantle, he rolled it up, and he smacked that water. And when his mantle hit the water, the rivers of Jordan, it said, went that way, and they walked over on dry ground. Listen, Elisha gave God his yes to the call, right, initially. And even when opposition and criticism and hard times came his way, he still said, I can't stop and I won't stop. I'm going to keep moving forward because I was made for more. So first, we got to answer the call. Number two, we got to keep moving forward. And here's number three. You got to smack the water. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 9 through 15. And so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?" Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." So he said, "You've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken away from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." Guess what? If Elisha wouldn't have kept moving forward, he never would have saw it. He never would have saw it. But he kept moving forward. Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen." So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes, and he tore them into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and he went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and he struck the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he had also struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. Now, when the sons of the prophet who were from Jericho saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. So here they are now. God has just split the Jordan River, right? They're still together. They've walked across on dry ground. And they're having some conversations that I really would have loved to hear every detail of. But as they're walking and talking, Elijah just asks Elisha, he says, "What may I do for you before I'm taken away? What can I do for you? What can I do for you before the Lord comes to take me?" And Elisha, he had been committed, right? Elijah had seen Elisha's commitment. He has seen his willingness to keep moving forward wherever the Lord may lead him and to keep pressing forward, right? He knew that Elisha could be trusted with the little things. So now he openly asked him, "What can I do for you?" There was really no limitation to that question. Elisha could have asked him for anything. Elisha had seen the mighty hand of God at work in the life of Elijah. He knew that God was capable of fulfilling any request, but do you know what Elisha asked for? He said, "I just want a double portion of the Spirit of God that's on your life, Elijah. That's what I want." And the idea or the request of Elisha to receive a double portion, it was not some self-serving, self-glorifying request. It wasn't like he was saying, "Oh yeah, I've seen God do some crazy things, some miracles through Elijah, and he's gotten a lot of popularity, he's gotten a lot of authority and a lot of power through that, and now I want that same thing because I want to be respected and I want to be popular as well." That's not the heart of this request. But it was simply a request to ask for the portion that went to a firstborn son, according to Jewish law, right? Deuteronomy 21, verse 17 says that the firstborn son shall be given a double portion of all that the father has, right? So Elisha, in essence, at this moment, he was asking for the right to be regarded as the true successor of Elijah and that he be regarded as his firstborn son in regards to ministry. That's what he was asking. Now, we know from 1 Kings 19:19, God had already said Elisha was going to be designated as Elijah's successor. But at this moment is what we see is Elisha saying, and he's recognizing, "Listen, I know I'm called to this office of prophet, but I can't do this on my own. I can't do ministry on my own. I can't do miracles on my own. I can't walk this walk. I can't talk this talk. I can't fill these shoes without the Spirit of God at work in my life. So I know that I could ask for anything, but what I really want is the same power and the same anointing and the same Spirit of God that rests upon you. The power and the anointing of God that you've walked in and that you have been operating in. I now want that same Spirit and more of that to rest upon me. Not just for me, but for me to be able to answer this call that has been placed upon my life. I know that I am nothing without Him, but I know because you've showed me Elijah, I can do all things through Him. So what I really would like to have is a double portion of your Spirit on my life. I'm feeling a little preach coming on me. You know how Elijah responded? He said, "You asked for a hard thing." That always used to blow my mind. Why would he say you asked for a hard thing? Why would Elijah say that was hard? God's done all these miracles through and for Elijah. It would not be hard for God to just give a double portion to Elisha. But Elijah wasn't saying it was hard for God. He was saying, you asked for a hard thing. What does that mean? He was saying, ministry isn't easy, Elisha. It's not easy. Elijah knows he'd been walking and doing ministry for years. He was saying, going against the times and going against the culture. It's not always easy, Elisha. Speaking the truth when others don't want to hear it and when others don't like it. That's not always easy, Elisha. Walking and taking the narrow path, it sometimes gets lonely. And that's not easy, Elisha. Truly answering the call of God upon your life. Denying yourself. As Jesus said, if anyone wants to be my disciple, let him first deny himself. That's not always easy, Elisha. Nevertheless, if you see me taken up, then it'll be as you've asked. You'll have a double portion. And as they walked and as they talked, suddenly something happened. Listen, I just believe God's getting ready to give some people some suddenly moments, right? Right? Give you a suddenly experience. Just like it says in the book of Acts, they were all in one mind and one accord in that upper room on the day of Pentecost, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven and a mighty rushing wind. You're getting ready to experience some suddenlies in your life. Suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared, and it separated the two of them. And it says that Elijah was carried up to heaven in a whirlwind. But something happened. As this rapture of Elijah took place, Elijah's mantle, it fell to the ground. It fell to the ground. And so now, Elisha sees this. He cries out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. And says he saw him no more. So now here stands Elisha, and Elijah is gone. He's been carried up to heaven. All that is left is his mantle that has fallen to the ground. And so Elisha is left with a choice. Amanda, you can come. He's left with a choice to make. Listen, the Christian life and the life of ministry is full of choices. I never really like when I hear people say, well, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. You had a choice. We always got a choice, and we got to choose what is right. Choose what God's Word says, right? We can't use that excuse until we're standing before the throne room. The devil made me do it. And he said, no, I called to you, and you rejected me. Right? We got a choice. God's given us free will. I always say the greatest gift he's ever given us besides salvation is free will, the right to choose. We have a choice to choose him. Many times he stands at the door and the knock. He says this himself. This isn't me. He says, I stood at the door and knocked, but you chose not to let me in. Why? Because we enjoy the pleasures of this life more than the one who actually gave us life. We need to choose Jesus. We need to choose his word. We need to choose his way. But Elisha had a choice to make. Elijah's mantle is lying there on the ground. He could leave it lying there. And really, he could talk about the great things Elijah did for God and the things that he did for the kingdom of God. He could talk about all the mighty miracles that God did through Elijah in the past and the things that he personally witnessed himself God do through Elijah. He could talk about all these things, great things, things that people would need and would love to hear. And there would be nothing wrong with that. There would be nothing wrong with him doing that. But there was still a mantle that was lying there on the ground that could and needed to be picked up. Because there was another generation. Come on, this is why we do VBS. There was another generation. There was another time. There was another people who also not only needed to hear about the great things of God, but they needed to see and they needed to experience them as well. And so Elisha at this moment, he's left with a choice to make. And he chooses to reach down and pick up this mantle. The Bible tells us that Elisha, he takes this mantle. He walks over to the River Jordan, which once again stood in his way. And with the mantle in his hand, says that he walks up to the water, the bank of the river, and he smacks the water. And he cries out, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And can I tell you, God was not offended by that. God was not put off by that question. Because what Elisha was saying once again was, "God, I need you. Where's the Lord God of Elijah? I need you. I'm not able to do this on my own. And you did some wonderful, powerful things through Elijah, God. But Elijah is gone now. You know that because you took him for yourself. But there's still a people here. There's still a generation that's here. And there's still generations that are coming after them who need to see and who need to know your power. Your power. And so now, God, would you use me? Use me like you used Elijah. Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And it says that as Elisha smacked the water with the mantle, that once again, the waters began to part this way and that way. And once again, Elisha walked across on dry ground. And I believe as he did, I believe Elisha began to walk from the natural into the supernatural things of his life. Because as he did this, the sons of the prophets, the same one that told him to stay still, stay where he's at. There wasn't much more left for him. Elijah was gone. There wasn't much. But Elisha said, "No, you can keep your mouth shut. I know there's more for me. There's more of God. I can never get enough of God. There's more of him for me." And as he kept moving forward, and now these same prophets that said those things to him, they look, and it says they saw him. They were at Jericho, and they said, "The spirit of Elijah now rests on Elisha." They were, you know what they were saying? They were saying, the same God that operated through Elijah to multiply meal and oil, the same God who used Elijah to bring a young boy back to life from the dead, the same God who through Elijah called fire down from heaven, the same God who through Elijah split the Jordan River, that same Spirit of God is resting upon Elisha now. Listen, I love, if you know me, I love to talk about the great moves of God, right? I love to talk about the miracles of God in the Bible. That's why I'm up here every week proclaiming and preaching the gospel. I love to talk about those things. I love to hear the stories, and I love to talk about the great revivals of the past, all those things that have taken place, but I'm here to tell you today that I believe God is just looking for a church. He's looking for a body. He's looking for an individual, an Elisha, so to speak. Somebody who would say, "I'm going to answer the call. And no matter what, I'm going to keep moving forward. Because I know that I was and I am made for more. So I'm going to take up this mantle that's been left lying on the ground. And I'm going to smack the waters that stand before me, and I'm going to cry out from my own heart with my own mouth, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where is the Lord God of the Bible that we read about, who heals the sick, who sets the captive free, who casts demons out of people, who causes blinded eyes to see and deaf ears to hear, the lame to leap and walk and run and praise the Lord? Where is the Lord God of the Bible? God, there's a generation of people. God, there is a church who wants and needs your presence and your spirit. And we need it here and now, today. So we're asking, would you come meet us here? Would you grace us with a holy visitation and send revival to our own hearts? Let them see. Hold on just a second for me, brother. Let them see and let them know your spirit, your power, and your anointing. I want everybody to stand with me. He's just looking for somebody to smack the water. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Andrew, the word of the Lord has spoken to me today, and I want to answer the call. Maybe you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. I'm asking you today, would you come and would you receive him? If that's you, you say, I need a personal relationship with Jesus. I've never accepted him. Just throw your hand up and put it right back down. Maybe you hear this morning, you say, Pastor Andrew, I've answered the call, but there's some things in this life that have gotten in the way. And there's some things, there's been some walls, there's been some hills, some mountains, some valleys that I've had to walk through. There's been some waters that seem too deep to cross. And I just, this morning, I've kind of been complacent. I've been staying where I'm at. But this morning, I want to make the decision. I'm going to keep moving forward despite what comes my way. I'm moving forward. If that's you, just throw your hand up. Throw your hand up. I see them across the room. Despite my circumstances, despite opposition, despite criticism, I'm going to keep moving forward. Here's the last one. I want God to use me. I want God to use me. If you say, I want to smack the water, I want God to use me. I want God to use me. I'm going to pick up the mantle that's been left lying there. For the pastors that's gone before me, for the family members, whether it's mothers and fathers, grandparents that have a godly heritage, maybe you don't have anybody like that. Maybe it's just right here, right now. I want to be a part. If you say, hey, I want to take up the mantle and cry out, where is the Lord God of Elijah? If that's you, throw your hand up. Yeah. I want this generation and this culture and this world to see we serve an awesome God. Y'all look at me. Somebody's got to answer the call. I saw these kids this week. Chris, where's Chris Childers? Chris, man, thank you. Chris drove the van, picked up all kind of kids and brought them here all week that normally wouldn't even have got to come here. Kids that would normally not be here got to come and they got to experience the power and the presence of God. But we are made to be carriers ourselves. Out there, not just inside here, but out there, they need to be seeing and knowing the love and the compassion and the grace, but not only that, the power of God at work in our lives. And God's just looking for somebody. I'm spitting. I'm sorry, Eli. I feel it strong. God is looking for somebody to pick up the mantle, smack the water, and cry out, where is the Lord God of Elijah? If you raise your hand for any reason, I want you to come. They're just going to play. Y'all come. Come right now. Just come. Don't hesitate. Don't leave the mantle on the ground.
Thank you for listening to Remnant Church. Our service times are Sunday at 11 a.m. and Sunday evening at 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We would love for you to visit with us in person at 5134 Joe Frank Harris Parkway in Adairsville, Georgia. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.